from the Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 studios in Los Angeles, it's time to go back to the films. Now here's your host, Tommy T. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining me for the very first installment of Back to the Films, a podcast dedicated to the reminiscence and appreciation of films of old. I'm your host, Tommy T. Today, we will be discussing the 1997 film Titanic, directed by James Cameron and starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet. Before we begin, let's take a moment to recap the film so that we can all know what the hell we're talking about. Titanic opens with vintage footage of the RMS Titanic setting sail on its maiden voyage, accompanied by a score that is equal parts beautiful and saddening. We are introduced to an expedition team searching the ruins of the ill-fated ship at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, with one of its crew members perhaps being the best thing to come out of the 90s. Bill Paxton wearing a skater cut, single-loop earring, and knitted sweater. The crew is looking for an artifact known as the Heart of the Ocean, a big-ass diamond cut into a heart and fit into a necklace. Finding the safe of who they believe to be the owner of the diamond, Bill Punxson is disappointed to find that the safe does not contain the diamond, but is quickly cheered up when he discovers a steaming hot nudie of a young girl wearing the diamond. This leads us to Rose, who is very, very old. While making clay bowls by herself and not accompanied by Patrick Swayze's ghost, Rose overhears the discovery of her steaming hot nudie. After making some calls, Rose tells Bill Punxson that she was the knockout in the drawing, encouraging Bill to invite her to join him and his knitted sweaters on a Russian carrier, bringing a shitload of luggage with her because she is old. Rose begins to cry when watching footage of the cruise expedition, reminiscing about the most impactful 2 days of her life. Damn it, only 20 minutes in, I'm already beginning to cry. God, I knew this would be a mistake. I should have picked Shrek 2. What's wrong with Shrek 2? It's shorter, everybody loves it, and doesn't make me cry. Well, at least not tears of sadness. After 22 excruciating minutes, we are finally introduced to Titanic's main attraction, Rose, only not so old, and Jack. Rose is a privileged rich girl set to marry Cal, who is an asshole, while Jack is a perfectly attractive, kind, talented guy who's also a disgusting peasant. After winning 2 tickets in a game of cards, Jack hops onto Titanic alongside his incredibly stereotypical Italian friend Fabrizio. Shenanigans ensue because while Jack screams, Rose is stuck screaming internally while attending formal dinner parties, because formal dinner parties are awful. Running to the back of the ship, Rose contemplates suicide, but is stopped by Jack, who is more of an asshole than I remember during this scene. After slipping and falling and saving her life, Jack is invited by Cal to join one of their formal dinner parties. Yay? The next day, sparks begin to fly between the two, as Jack shows his drawings of French girls to Rose, and also shows her how to spit like a man.
You gotta work on it. Really? Really try and hawk it up and get some body to it, you know? You gotta...
Kathy Bates, who I seemingly forget stars in every movie that I've seen her in, acts as a chaperone to Jack, letting him know how to get on the good side of the rich snobs. After winning everyone over at dinner with his impressive words and even more impressive face, Jack and Rose run off together to join the real party going on downstairs, consisting of Irish folk music, tap dancing, alcohol, arm wrestling, and punches to the face. Waking up with a terrible hangover, Cal reminds Rose that she needs to obey him because, you know, it's the 1910s, goddammit. Rose is also reminded by her mother that the wedding needs to go through because despite their outward appearance, the family is actually struggling financially, establishing to the audience that Rose's mom is actually a horrible person. Eager to see her again, Jack is prevented by Cal and his goons from speaking to Rose. But did you think all this was going to stop them? If it did, we wouldn't have much of a movie now, would we? Rose finds Jack at the front of the ship and together share their first kiss in perhaps the most iconic and consequently most spoof scene in cinematic history. Afterwards, Rose asks Jack to
draw me like one of your French girls.
With men in the audience being treated, or made uncomfortable, by Kate Winslet's PG-13 nudity. Cal finds Jack strong at Rose, and jealous of his superior drawing skills, wants Jack dead. Running through the ship to avoid Cal's goons, Jack and Rose find an appropriate place to do it, cueing one of the most over-the-top sex scenes ever. We are then reminded that all of this ends horribly when the film cuts to the captain having a warm cup of tea and telling his crew nighty-night, all while 2 complete idiots operate as lookouts. While oogling at Jack and Rose making out on the deck, the two bimbos fail to spot an iceberg the size of the fucking White House sticking out of the water, marking the beginning and the end of not just Jack's young life, but the end of VHS tape 1. After the collision, Jack and Rose return to Cal. Despite the obvious dangers of staying on a sinking ship, they do not stop Cal from wanting Jack dead, with Cal's goon planting the heart of the ocean inside Jack's pocket. With Jack handcuffed near the bottom of the ship and with the water rising, Rose breaks free from Cal to save Jack from inevitable death. All hell breaks loose as the third act of the film goes full James Cameron mode. Water bursts through walls, people get shot, and human bodies bounce around like discs in a large-scale game of Plinko. Despite reaching the safety of a lifeboat, Rose jumps back onto Titanic, as she was told earlier by the ship's designer that there would not be enough lifeboats for everybody, including Jack. Climbing to the back of the ship where they first met, Jack and Rose watch in horror as Titanic is slowly swallowed by the Atlantic Ocean. Reaching the surface of the ice-cold water, Jack guides Rose to a piece of the ship for them to lay on. However, the piece will only support the weight of one of them, so Jack urges Rose to remain on the float while he stays in the water. Once a lifeboat has come to save them, everyone in the water is frozen to death, including Jack, stating,
"I'll never let go. I promise."
Rose releases Jack's hand as he slowly sinks out of view. Too weak to yell for help, Rose is able to reach a whistle and attract the attention of the lifeboat, fulfilling her promise to Jack that she would survive. Moved by her story of love and survival, Bill Punxton gives up his search for the diamond in favor of moving on with his life. Later that night, Rose makes her way to the back of the carrier, where it is revealed that she has had the diamond this entire time. Rose throws the heart of the ocean into the water, where it slowly sinks out of view. In the film's final scene, we see Rose sleeping peacefully in her bed, alongside pictures illustrating her having lived a life of freedom and adventure after having met Jack. So one of the reasons that I wanted to discuss Titanic for episode 1 of Back to the Films is because it is such a popular movie. Considering that the film came out a little over 20 years ago, I would guesstimate that about 90% of women between the age of 15 and 50 have seen Titanic, and of those 90% of women, 90% of them love it. This is why Titanic is such a popular movie to hate on, especially by men, because men feel like they can't be men if they love their girl's favorite movie, and no matter what they tell you, men really care what other men think of them. Although it has since lost the record for highest grossing movie to both Avatar and Avengers Endgame, I still think that Titanic might be the most popular movie to have come out in the last 50 years. Because unlike Titanic, Avatar Endgame had the massive advantage of multiple viewing options like 3D, Atmos, IMAX, etc. And it just seems like almost everybody went to see Titanic in theaters. Even my grandma, who has probably seen few enough movies to count with her fingers, saw Titanic in theaters. Unfortunately, Titanic was released the day after my second birthday, so watching it in theaters was not a realistic option for me, something I hope to do one day. Which leads me to the second reason I wanted to discuss Titanic. I fucking love this movie. Titanic is, in my honest opinion, one of the greatest movies ever made. This may not be apparent after listening to my recap as I give the movie a lot of shit. Just know that the shit that I do give it comes from a place of love. First of all, Jack and Rose are one of the greatest movie couples ever, as they are one of the few that actually give two shits about by the end of the movie. This is in part due to the script, and in part due to Leo and Kate's amazing chemistry together. Another thing that I love about Titanic is the film's production value. Titanic was made with a budget of $200 million, which when adjusted for inflation shoots up to over $300 million, making it around the fifth most expensive movie ever made. And believe me when I say that Titanic is one of the few movies whose production value you can actually feel. Because not only did the filmmakers painstakingly rebuild much of Titanic from scratch, they also destroyed it all in dramatic fashion. Finally, of all the things that myself and others like to give the movie shit for, the one thing that I refuse to hear Titanic be bagged on is the way it depicts its real-life tragedy. When shit hits the fan, Titanic doesn't hold back any punches, as the movie shows how horrible this tragedy really was. When the single lifeboat comes back to look for survivors, and they have to move dead bodies out of the way to get by, it's fucking tragic. Yes, I understand that setting a fictional romance during the events of a real-life tragedy and profiting immensely from it is kind of messed up. However, the care that Titanic treats its source material with, along with the awareness and appreciation that the film ultimately brings to those who perished, is more than enough to make up for this fault. Thank you for listening to Back to the Films. Join me next time, where I'll be discussing the horror flick disguised as a kid's movie, Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. The one with Jim Carrey.